This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, February 11th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Over the past year, the internet has taken on an even more significant role in our lives, as we depend on it for pretty much everything. And now, we've gotten some signs that the Biden administration could be interested in a return to net neutrality, a policy aimed at ensuring equal access to the internet. On today's episode, our telecoms reporter Drew Fitzgerald will bring us up to speed on net neutrality and how the conversation has changed since it was implemented back in the Obama administration. That's after these headlines. Uber reported a net loss of $6.76 billion for 2020 as the pandemic crushed its core ride-hailing operations. But the declines were narrower than the year before, thanks to the relative success of its food delivery business, Uber Eats, as well as aggressive cost-cutting measures. Despite the difficulties, Uber has said that it's hoping to reach profitability by the end of this year. General Motors said yesterday that it expects an ongoing semiconductor shortage to erode its bottom line by $1.5 to $2 billion in the coming year. Demand for chips has skyrocketed during the pandemic, leaving manufacturers struggling to keep up. GM's forecast comes after it, Ford, and many other car companies have announced plans to cut output as a result of the shortage. Facebook says it's beginning to decrease the amount of political content that people see on its platform. While the company says political posts make up just 6% of what users see, it's contributed to feelings of polarization and division on the social network. The news follows comments that CEO Mark Zuckerberg made on an earnings call last month. Here's some of what he said back then.
So we want these discussions to be able to keep happening. But one of the top pieces of feedback that we are hearing from our community right now is that people don't want politics and fighting to take over their experience on our services.
The effort marks a pivot for Facebook, which has historically played up its role as a central populist actor in elections and social movements around the world. And remember last summer and into the fall when it seemed like every day the fate of the social media app TikTok was hanging in the balance? Basically, former President Trump was concerned that TikTok could present a national security risk, something that TikTok repeatedly denied. And Trump pushed the company to sell its U.S. operations or else face a potential ban in the U.S. Trump ended up signing off on a preliminary deal between TikTok, Oracle, and Walmart. Since then, the companies have been working with each other and with regulators to hammer out the specifics. So that's where we left off. But now, after all that, we report exclusively that the plan has been put on hold indefinitely as the new Biden administration reviews its predecessor's efforts to address potential security risks from Chinese tech companies. Here's our reporter, John McKinnon, with more.
There's recognition on kind of both sides of the political spectrum that the issues being raised by Chinese tech platforms and Chinese technology in general are real concerns and are substantial concerns. And the Trump administration, to its credit, was kind of early to recognize some of these concerns. But their approach, I think the Biden people feel, was a little bit scattershot. That's not a word that they use, but I think that that's really how it looks to them. And so they're trying to find a way to address all of these data security, national security issues in a rational way that kind of can be used across the board in different contexts and with different Chinese tech companies. So they're trying to avoid the kind of individual targeting of companies that the Trump administration was effectively doing.
By the way, the Biden administration is working to review all kinds of tech policies, not just the TikTok ordeal. After the break, we'll talk about how recent action from the Department of Justice could signal a shift on net neutrality, too. That's next. Earlier this week, the Department of Justice dropped its challenge of California's net neutrality law. You might remember that California introduced the law after the Trump administration rolled back the Obama-era policy, which was aimed at creating more equal internet access. Dropping the DOJ's challenge could signal a return to net neutrality. So here to get us back up to speed and discuss what the impact of a change could be is our reporter, Drew Fitzgerald. Hey, Drew, thanks for joining me.
Sure thing.
So it's been a little while since we've talked about net neutrality, and this is a complicated topic besides. So I want to start here with a little bit of a primer. Can you just explain what net neutrality means and where it comes from?
Well, net neutrality is the idea that the company providing you access to the internet whether it's through cable, a cell phone connection, satellites, whatever, can't pick favorites. If you're shopping online or watching a Netflix video or talking to people on Zoom, your internet provider shouldn't get in the way of those activities by blocking traffic or slowing some of the data down to make other services work better. That's the principle. In practice, the federal government under President Obama wrote rules discouraging a lot of that activity, with some exceptions. There were some loopholes that allowed for a little bit more traffic management for cell phone providers. There were other rules dealing with privacy. But on the whole, it prevented the sort of blocking or throttling traffic that open internet advocates had really worried about.
And what's the argument on each side of this issue?
Well, supporters of these rules argue that the modern economy flourished really because internet providers didn't control things too much. Look at Google and Amazon. Also, look at Netflix. That exploded even though it provided entertainment that competes directly with some of the cable TV providers that were serving their Netflix videos over the internet. The opponents of net neutrality rules argue that they're not really needed because these companies provide internet service, and if they blocked or seriously degraded some of the websites and content that their customers want, their customers would get mad and it would be bad business. Another argument against the net neutrality rules, especially in Washington, has been that it would open the door to price regulation, to setting prices. That's something that companies like AT&T and Comcast are very fearful of and don't want the government involved in.
Got it. So net neutrality policies, again, that's the idea that internet service providers shouldn't be able to pick favorites. That was an Obama-era policy. What was the Trump administration's approach? Where did they fall, and how did they handle net neutrality?
Well, the Trump administration opposed those rules, and the new chairman of the FCC at the time, named by President Trump, rewrote them. They introduced new regulations that completely revoked the guidelines that the Democratic-led FCC had set a few years before. They also tried to make rules that would deter states from writing their own regulations, and they argued that the state of California had overstepped its authority when it filled the gulf and wrote its own rules.
Right. And let's talk about that. California's law escalated into a legal battle with President Trump's DOJ. What happened there, and why is it so significant that this happened in California?
Yeah, that's right. California did pass this law during the Trump administration to try to protect the types of activities that the Obama administration had supported. And California is no ordinary state. It's the biggest state in the country, as we've seen with other sorts of rules on greenhouse gas emissions, internet privacy. If they pass a law that is sustained, it has the effect of really setting the agenda on a national level. A national company can't very well have rules for the rest of the country and ignore a state with 40 million people in it. So it has the effect, or it would have the effect, of protecting net neutrality principles on a national level if it were put into effect. Now, the important thing to remember is that those rules haven't gone into effect yet, pending legal challenges.
Right. And among them was a lawsuit from the Trump administration's Department of Justice. But now that the new Biden administration is in office, their Department of Justice is dropping that suit against California's net neutrality law. What does that tell us about how this administration could approach this issue?
Well, it tells us two things. One is that the Biden administration, like most Democrats, still supports net neutrality rules that are enforceable and doesn't want to get in the way of what California is doing. They're aligned in their ideals there. The second thing it tells us is that the Biden administration should be eager to have those California rules go into effect and become the law of the land, essentially, because it doesn't yet have a lot of power to act on a federal level. The FCC today is led by an acting chairwoman, Jessica Rosenworcel, but is a 2-2 split. The Biden administration hasn't yet named another commissioner to fill the 5-member commission or named a permanent chairperson, which really ties the commission's hand in writing the sort of sweeping rules that it did under the Obama administration.
And, you know, you mentioned the challenges with the FCC, but couldn't the Biden administration tackle this through legislation as well?
Remember, all of this legal ping pong has happened because of challenges to the FCC's authority and the state of California's authority to write these sorts of rules under the laws that exist today. Just this week, It was the 25th anniversary of the signing of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. That is really the only comprehensive legislation that we've had on internet providers, period. There hasn't been new legislation, and that's something that businesses and customer advocates on both sides of the issue and on both sides of the political aisle have asked for, even though they have different ideas of what those rules should be. But with everything else on the Biden administration's plate, from COVID to the economy, it might be hard to pass that sort of legislation over the next few months.
So, Drew, we've just talked through the back and forth of three different administrations' approaches to this issue. What is the impact of all this whiplash? Does it make it harder for these kinds of rules to stick?
Yeah, well, the whiplash has, if nothing else, kept a lot of lawyers employed for the past three administrations. And it's also led to a lot of a judicial record on not just the rules themselves, but the way that government officials go about writing those rules. I think the back and forth has really shown that it is hard to write permanent rules under the federal law that we have today. And again, they have very different agendas, but both tech companies and internet companies are trying to urge Congress to write new law that will set permanent net neutrality regulations so that this debate isn't something that keeps playing out for three more administrations to come.
All right, that's our reporter, Drew Fitzgerald. Thanks, Drew.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.